If you'd like to have it in front of you, you can find it on page 27 in the Pew Bible. When you pray, do you ever wish that you had some extra leverage with God? Do you ever wish that there was something you could do more to get God to see things your way? Well, I know I do. And I'm a pastor, but I'm also a Christian. And I feel that way when I'm praying for someone I love to make it through surgery, or to get better after a long illness, or for a difficult circumstance to turn around, especially when that circumstance happens to last for a number of years. Or when I'm praying for a friend who has either left the faith or someone who's never known the Lord. Well, we read this in Genesis 32, starting with verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. Prayer is a lot like this wrestling match that takes place between Jacob and the Lord. But with respect to God, it's not a wrestling match among equals, as in two human beings. And this encounter teaches us what the differences are, so that we can better learn about our relationship with God, especially how it has to do with prayer. First, God comes to us. He's the one who initiates the contact. Jacob did not say to himself, "Tonight I'm going to pray to the God of my fathers. I'm going to just reach out to him," and so he had a plan. No, it's the other way around. God is the creator. We are the creatures. He is the potter. We are the clay. God is the one who initiates the connection with us. He wants there to be a connection with us. He wants to hear from us. He wants fellowship with us. But he's the one who always starts that connection. And how much more is that the case because of sin? Because of sin in the world, our spiritual ties with God are severed. And in fact, Paul says in Ephesians 2 that our spiritual condition is that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ. And there's another clue in the Old Testament too. When we read about the interactions that God has with Abram and with Isaac and with Jacob, there's a certain word that's used in Hebrew. When it says that God appeared to them, that word is always in the passive. That means that Abram and Isaac and Jacob did not initiate the contact, but God revealed himself. He made himself known to them. The Hebrew word is ra'ah, not that you need to know Hebrew. So God first showed himself to Jacob. And he shows himself to us. But the second thing that he shows us is that God gives us a position with himself. In this case, with Jacob, he did it by giving Jacob a new name. Now, a name change is a big deal. This shouldn't be taken off lightly. Okay, of course God just changes names willy-nilly of people. No, think about your own life. Name changes are not something that happen just every day. They're things that happen in monumental turning points in your life. or when the organ decides that it's going to play itself. No. When your name is changed, it's because something has changed about you. Especially when you get married or when a child is adopted. This also unfortunately happens after divorces too. But there's a name change, and with a name change comes a change of identity. And that's what God does for Jacob. He changes his identity. And God does the same thing for you and me. In baptism, God changes our name with respect to himself. He gives us a new name to call on him. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God puts a new name for us on us. So that we know what our relation, our standing is with him. And what a gracious thing that is, that God changes our identity. We are not just relations to each other, but we have a relation with God himself. And that name has a meaning. That is the name by which we're saved. In holy baptism, God gives us that new identity as adopted and beloved children, as forgiven children, as those who can see themselves through God's eyes now, not just with human eyes. And the last point from Jacob's wrestlings with God is that those who God comes to, those who he adopts by grace, also are the recipients of great blessing. God comes to us, and in love he makes us his children. But as his children, that also means that he's our Father. And because we have God Almighty as our Heavenly Father, then that means that he is going to provide for everything that we need in our life. Everything that our bodies need, everything that the world needs, everything that our faith needs, our Heavenly Father is going to provide. Because by adopting us as children, he doesn't slack on his duties. He cares for us. He's not a deadbeat. He is truly our Father, and he provides for us. And in all of those things, we experience his blessings. Jesus said in the Gospel, not the Gospel for today, but Matthew chapter 6, he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." If we just look at the earthly stuff, then we might have a lot of opinions about how God might better provide for us. But Jesus throws that out. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first God coming to us. Seek first the name that he puts on us and adopts us as his children. And of course, he's going to provide for everything that we need in this life so that we don't need to worry about it. We can't worry it into existence. We can't strong-arm God into giving us more. But he cares for us. He loves us. Now, one interesting thing about the exchange with Jacob is that Jacob kind of asks for more. When he said, Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he, the Lord speaking, says, "Why is it that you ask my name?" You see, when you have someone's name, you have a little more leverage, or at least from a human perspective. That's why when you go into a car dealer, they'll say your name to you over and over again to try to, you know, exchange, make a rapport. But God can't be manipulated the way that other people can. And hopefully none of you seek out to go manipulate people by using their name again and again. But for Jacob, it's not a human match between equals. So God can't just use or Jacob can't just use God's name as leverage. Kind of like the movie Beetlejuice. You can't just say Beetlejuice, 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 and then God answers your call. It doesn't work that way. But even though God didn't give Jacob his name the way on the terms that Jacob was asking, when Jesus Christ came, he did give us his name. When he baptized us into the name of Jesus, the name of the Trinity, he did reveal himself to us. He revealed his heart to us, not so that we have the upper hand on God, but that we know the fullness of his love for us. That as creatures, and fallen creatures as at that, God still is our Father. He still adopts us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And God adopted us and knows us by name. Now, God does provide for us. He's taken us in. He's given us a name. And he blesses us each and every day of our life. But why does he do that? Does he do it because we wrestled with him better? Does he answer one person's prayers and not another because somehow they have better skill? Not at all. God is the greater one. God is the one who, and take this word right, condescends to us. He comes down to us in love. He meets us on our own terms, but he meets us as our God and our Heavenly Father. So we don't need to come up with ways to strong-arm God and get our way, but instead, by showing us the ways that he provides for us, by surprising us when he answers our prayers in a way that we didn't even imagine, God is actually showing us exactly what we do need. He's showing us the good that we need for our life. He's showing us how he's the one who always provides for us. He's the one who, when we see danger, he already knows the way through it. When we're struggling in our faith, he knows how he's going to provide for us, how he's going to raise up faithful friends, faithful ones who share the word with us, how he's going to comfort us with the reminder of our baptism, how he's going to give us strength in Holy Communion, and how he's going to bring us through our temporal troubles to an eternal rest. And in all of that, God shows himself to be faithful so that our wrestling match of prayer isn't something where we need to get the upper hand, but where God comes down to us and cares for us and blesses us with everything for this life and even into eternity. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.